Worst of Podcast, episode 57 with Paul and Barry.
Hi, listeners. How are you doing?
Doing well.
The times are changing.
They're always changing.
So what's the name of this podcast, Barry?
I don't know. The only constant in life is change.
It's change. Death, taxes and Theresa May lies.
I'm not saying anything. I love this. The technique, right, is just hide under a stone until it's finished. Don't say anything, because if I say something, they could hold me to it. So just don't say anything.
Don't say anything, yeah.
Yeah, perfect strategy. Just let everybody else talk. I'm not going to say anything, mate. Just trust me. That's all you need to know. You can trust me. I'm a woman of my word. And then, that's it. Policies. We don't need policies. Just trust me.
Just trust me. Go on my track record. Whoa.
And you got the other big guy, JC, coming out with all kinds of populist claptrap. He's going to give us 4 bank holidays.
Yeah, hooray! That's great. That's pretty good. I mean, it means nothing to me in my hospital, but like, that's great.
It's good for us normal folk. Yeah. More just, bank holidays.
It just means like 4 more days the hospital will be inundated.
For drunk people, yeah, hooray! Privatise, nationalise the health service, hooray! Nationalise the trains, hooray! All that good stuff.
Anyway,
all that good stuff.
What's our name of our podcast?
It's called War Master Podcast, Paul.
It's been the name of the episode.
57 episodes. It's like post salute, stag do, come down.
All right, that's good. Yeah, yeah.
That's what I'm going to have to do now. Yeah. As you can probably tell, it's been a busy weekend and,
Yeah.
It's a little bit ad hoc because it's come a bit closer, it's a bit shorter. The distance between them.
Yeah,
last week was 3 weeks plus. This is 3 days plus.
So there isn't that a lot more. Well, I don't know. We've got things to talk about.
Well, only salute.
Yeah. But I've got.
Because it was Thursday last week, and now it's Tuesday this week.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah. Okay, fair enough then.
Or the weekend.
Yeah. So we're talking about salute.
Mm-hmm. And we're doing a lot of show and tell. It's like being back at school, although showing and back and tell, but you're not going to see much of the showing.
It's a kind of American thing, anyway.
I have to use the power of words to describe my show and tell. Right, anyway, so we're in Paul's world.
Yep.
Paul's world.
Yep,
party time, excellent. What did you do in Paul's world, sir?
Well, since we last recorded.
Another thing to mention is Hannah is now in the house. So I wonder why Paul was keen to come to mine this morning. Hannah's in the house, looking very pregnant indeed.
Yeah. So, because we recorded on Thursday the 20th, and this is only the 25th, Tuesday the 25th, there's not been a lot of in-between time.
Well, I ain't played no games, apart from Magic last night.
Well, I played, so after we recorded last time, I did go and play Eric some Shadow War Armageddon. So the new Necromunda.
Don't call it that, sir. Don't call it that.
What is
call
that?
It a new skirmish game.
Okay.
Loosely based on an old skirmish game, though.
Loosely?
I'm not sure. Well, we'll see. I can't get excited about fighting Nids against Eldar for Promethean crates or what.
Yeah, that makes sense why they're doing it. But like, yeah, fair enough. Yeah, okay. All right. Yeah.
It's a skirmish game. Fine, whatever.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I played a couple of three games actually of that in one session against Eric, and it was good. Yeah, it was. We started tracking the gang, the kill team's development. So basically, the start of our little campaign that we've started up at the club, where it's just like play your games and track the results on this thread. That's all it needs.
You don't seem to be amassing much fuel. It's kind of like I had two, I've got one.
Yeah,
I had one, I've got two.
Well, that's the point. Is you don't you get. I tried. And I played one game with my scouts and two games with my cult. The second cult game, I hired a gene stealer, full blown gene stealer. It was good.
Yeah, that's
he
what
was
I said.
Gene stealer was good.
Yeah, that's what I imagined.
Yeah. But it was good fun.
Like the Terminator with lightning claws. He's probably quite good.
He's
mate.
Probably good.
Re-rolling hits.
Yeah,
no armor
save. He's pretty good. So we tried it out and it was fine. Eric was using Harlequins and then he used Chaos as well. The Harlequins are very, very good. But
who'd have thunk it?
But they're terribly vulnerable to like template weapons, like flamers, because they don't roll a hit. Anything that doesn't roll a hit against them is gold, against Harlequins, because their defensive suits are next to hit, not armor. Traditional armor, like stopper bullet. So I almost made Eric's Harlequins bottle on the first turn. I'd ambushed his gang with my cult, And I managed to get a, actually not with a flamer, but I managed to get a lucky hit on one of the Harlequins.
With a grenade or something?
Just random. Like, I fired enough bullets into it that I've actually got one to land. And that dropped a Harlequin. And because he only has four to begin with, he took a bottle test before he even had a turn. Oh, like, at the start of his turn. Which could have resulted in him bottling out, like, immediately. That's the point.
Was it based on leadership 8 or something?
I think 9? The Harlequins are running around like 8 or 9. Yeah, right. Probably. But it wasn't likely, but I'm just saying that it could have happened. He didn't, and he went on, his Harlequins went on to tear me a new one. But, it's possible. Like, the Harlequins have this operative you can hire, like a hired gun, who is called the Solitaire, and he's so ridiculous that if you hire him, that's it. That's all you play against is
him.
On his own. Like a predator. Yeah. It's pretty cool. It's like, I like that. It's like, oh my god, that guy's ridiculous. And I was like, oh, but if you play against him,
but you only have to kill two or three of yours and then you'll bug out, I guess.
Well, you can potentially bug out. But equally, he's running around with the same problems as the other Harlequins. He's got low toughness and
no armor.
A defensive suite that is just affects your to hit roll. So if you somehow... you just chuck grenades at this guy. Like, and hope one of them lands. Like, close to him. Just throw grenades into that area. Or fire grenade launchers. Anything you've got that will do that.
Right, good. So that was Shadow War Apocalypse.
Yeah. And Armageddon. And I'm playing Rodders tomorrow at the club after I come in from work. Like, when I'll
go straight... Same game?
No. So I'm playing... So he's going to use, I think, his Beastman. And I'm going to use dwarves actually because Darren is playing in our Big D is playing in our next event, and he'd been recommended by you to use dwarves.
Very good.
So I was like,
it will suit his temperament.
Yes, exactly. So I will use dwarves against Rodders. So we won't get a full game in, but then Darren will borrow the dwarves off me. Until after the tournament. So, like, he'll also have my army list if he wants to use that, but equally, he's got the options to make a choice. So, and I can sort of teach him with the army he's going to use, which is quite a nice... I was going to do ogres, actually, against him, because of these new ogres incoming. Mm-hmm. I'll use dwarves, because that does two things. I can teach a new player with the army he wants to use and still play the game. Quite
nice. Dwarves are very forgiving.
Yeah. I mean, they're...
And if you put them in terrain, they're horrifically difficult to move.
Yeah, so it should be a good laugh. And it's nice. It'd be nice to see. So basically, to the listeners, Darren is a guy who's a very, very long-running member of our club.
Yep.
And he tends to follow game systems like a little bit behind. As in terms of, like, he always seems to get into something after he's never up to date. If you're
right,
following.
Yeah. But he plays a lot of Blood Bowl.
Plays a lot of Blood Bowl.
Like, he's got like four halfling teams.
Yeah.
That's a lot of Blood Bowl.
Yeah. And so to see him want to play some Warmaster is fantastic, because he's a really nice guy. I've got loads of time for him, and he can borrow my army and play.
Yeah, it'd be good. Right, yeah. So, well done, Darren. That's what you're playing on Wednesday. I'm playing the Jim the Sage.
Yeah, again, that randomly short notice, isn't it?
Yeah, that's all right. I can always do random short notice. Yeah. And he's playing...
Unless he's playing me. Then you weren't then. Well, when was the last time we played?
Yeah, but this is during the day. I'm supposed to be packaging shit. No, I'm not supposed to be here jibber-jabbing. So... I'm playing Jim. I think he's playing one of the lists we're still working on.
Yeah. He's going to use... was he using Beastman as well?
I can't remember. Maybe it was Beastman or Norse. I can't remember. One or the other.
Yeah, because he asked, like, if he wanted to test anything. And I sent him the... Okay, so these are the things that currently need testing. And I think he chose Beastman, didn't he?
Yeah.
I mean, another Jim mighty proxy army.
Of course.
Like, yeah, like, this is this. Aside from over here when it's this.
Beastman, Cathay, Chaos Dwarf...
I just put a bit of paper next to, like, what the unit is. Like, what is that?
I remember.
Yeah.
That'd be good. It'd be good to play Jim. It'd be interesting to see what we're going to do. What have you said we're going to do about the woods?
Okay, so, obviously now, I see the... This is kind of coming into a later conversation, but I see the free wood issue of wood elves and beastmen to be more a wood elf kind of thing. Like, beastmen should copy... whatever wood elves get or do. But, and if we get to a point where on June the 1st, so a month before the tournament on July the 1st, that wood elves haven't progressed into like the printable army list.
Well, it ain't happening, mate. Oh, you can dream all you want. That's not going to happen by June the 1st.
Anyway. I mean, because this is interesting. Because like, so then I will probably. I'll save definitely for the scenario that doesn't have a base. So meeting engagement, no free woods, and for the battle line ones, I will have an honest debate with Rodders over what do you think it should be in terms of like and how we define if they get any free woods, how we define what those woods are.
Because the way we play our tournament pack,
yep.
You could win that game by one victory point.
Yeah.
Or by timing someone out. And it's still a win. Obviously, yeah. You're not going to catch Janners with his 1,400 victory points wins per game.
Yeah.
But you can in our system play incredibly defensively still win.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So...
Because they'll have to either... Because you're shooting them at range and doing damage, some damage.
Yeah.
And then they're going to have to come into the woods and get you out.
Yeah.
Or they're going to clock out.
Yeah. So we need to address that, and I will have a very good, you know, like, because Rodders is a very fair guy, and we're like, what do you think is fair? Like, what is good, not what is going to produce, what do you think is okay and isn't produce a negative game experience?
Basically. See, I'd be more tempted, before we worried about the free woods issue, we need to set a limit on terrain, because we don't want any forest of end.
That's going to be part of... From our experience, like at Jim and Alex's event, Last Triwiz, part of the comp pack that I would do, which will also update Steamroller 27, oh, sorry, Winter Roller, whoops.
Ego Roller.
Freudian slip. Sorry about that. All right.
I don't think they call it Steamroller anymore.
Anyway, shut up. Right. So which will have a suggestion on scenery. It'll have a limit on scenery.
6 to 8, I reckon.
Yeah, it'll be you want 6 to 8 pieces, 3 woods, 3 hills. This is a suggestion, and something else.
Okay.
Yeah, that's because that's
of a reasonable. So you need to specify.
Yeah,
the size,
and I'll make a reasonable. And because of the tables that I've built, like that I've done, that I'll be bringing, they all match that.
Yeah, because I know because I cut the bloody scenery out for you.
I know you did. Yeah, but our listeners don't, do they? Because they're not in your mind. Right, okay.
I think we built it so there's like 3 woods, 3 hills, and then a couple of other random
Which
bits.
Seems fair. Yeah, which seems that table isn't dominated, but it's still got scenery on it. So that is right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, because two of our more seasoned tournament players, not War Master tournament players, like general tournament players, Guild Ball, War Machine, blah, 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 they were adamant that an unlimited amount of scenery on the table can ruin games.
Oh, yeah, totally.
And they said that before the tournament even kicked off.
Yeah, totally. And having seen, like, what happened at the Triwiz, you know, like, with you getting a scenery, a wood table, it was a smaller table as well, wasn't it? Because, that's the thing at 40K, all the tables are 6x4. You know, like, none are shortened at all.
To be fair, that table's a lovely table. It's won an award.
Yeah.
But it's just like, it doesn't suit itself to a tournament environment.
No, exactly. So, and we, well, but, you know, and that's part of, as I always wrote when I was writing this tournament pack, was always a part that it will evolve. And then that's the next thing it needs to evolve, like, it needs to have more detail in, right? The suggested table for War Master, what does it look like? Yeah. And it'll be 6 to 8 pieces, three hills, three woods.
Okay.
And I'll define how big's a hill, how big's a wood. At max, it is this size. You want round, obviously, round one looks better rather than square woods, but they are square these ones. Sizes.
Good. Right, excellent. So, how did we get onto that already? I'm playing Jim. There we go. That's how we got to that. Okay, right. So, have you got some... Oh, well, I better say what I've been doing. Oh, you haven't talked about your stag do yet.
Okay, yeah.
Just a brief interlude.
Okay, so on Saturday I went to a stag do. It involved going go-karting, which I thought wasn't going to be that great. But actually, these go-karts were pretty good. They could go up to 45 miles an hour. It was on a big track that took about 45 seconds to do a lap.
It's
and we did
good.
A 30-lap race, so there's quite a lot
pretty
of
good.
Racing. And it felt like when you were driving it, a lot quicker than you were going because it's very low to the ground. And I was shouting out with joy at some of the like tight corners as I was trying to steer like corner as effectively as I could. And it reminded me.
Were there any gears or was it just rip
no,
and
just go?
No,
just go, brake and go.
Right.
Yeah, like, and I was trying. And so everybody's got the same vehicle eventually. Right. So, you know, you're only going to overtake people by skill of driving, you know,
or them being fat. That helps.
Well, then, anyway.
So did the big fat guys come last?
Well, no. But so what I'm saying is I was really enjoying it. I was proper shouted out with joy at some of them. And it reminded me of downhill skiing racing that I've done a bit like on, you know, like at times. And because you've got how you take the corners. Like there was this last corner, like the tightest corner before the big
like
long straight. Yeah, the big long straight down the track, like where the finish line is. I took that corner so many ways as I was trying to work out, like, because you couldn't see your lap times as you were going. I was trying to work out what is the best way to get into this corner. Like, how do I brake and go round, or do I try to go round long? I don't know. Anyway, I actually managed, out of these nine guys, to get the fastest lap time. I found it afterwards. I don't know how, because I was like, honestly, this bottom corner I took in so many ways. But I was always trying to race, because even though it was such a long, you know, like, even though it's just a go-kart race, there were stretches of time where you weren't you weren't next to people quite a lot. It was like a big track. So,
So where did you finish anyway?
Oh, mid-table, because the exhaust fell off my go-kart and I got pulled into the pits, and I was thinking, oh, have I like driven badly or something? What's wrong? And no, the exhaust had fallen off, so I had to change vehicles, and that really just killed my position in the race, so it didn't really matter from then. I couldn't
watch it.
Never mind, yeah, but it's proper, like, to me it was like, I don't watch a lot of F1 at all, it's kind of boring, but, you know, like, mechanical failure caused me to, like, yeah, it was kind of like, yeah, you get an F1, like, it's often not the driver, it's the car. Anyway, so we did that was really good. Then we went on to absorbing, which is you are fitted into, like, these inflatable balls.
Yeah.
Like football indoor.
Playing football.
Yeah. And the thing is, like, I don't want to, like, blow my trumpet, but the other guys, like, were so unfit. That they're like, you know, they haven't exercised.
Well, they're just normal guys,
yeah,
mate.
They're just normal guys. They haven't
got families and
yeah,
drinking.
Like,
and
they
stuff.
Haven't exercised properly, I think, in a long time. And after 4 minutes, like, we were supposed to play, okay, we're going to play lots of little matches, 8-minute matches. For the first half, 4 minutes, they were done. Like, that was it.
So did you just stop?
Well, no, but the pace of the game was ridiculously slow. Because they were just so, they were like, just like gasping. Because you can't breathe that well in these things. Like, but in the army, I've done this thing called
waterboarding.
Degradation, it's called. It's basically you put on your full CBN suit,
yeah,
and you're made to play football in it and stuff, and you can't breathe. And the point of it is to show you how limiting fighting in this incomplete biological suit is, because your sight's limited and you can't breathe very deeply. Anyway, I've done such things like that, and I've done zorbing before. I mean, I almost broke my helmet, but, like, I work. Yeah, you know, I go to the gym for the army. I'm in shape. These guys were not. You know, like, even the guys who did a lot of running, actually, like, not true fitness. Like, they're good at a thing, like long distance running, but this is just like get up and go, kind of get back off the ground again fitness. And yeah, so it wasn't. I mean, that wasn't as good because of the. Like how poor these guys were. It was quite funny because I was just like, I was literally like, I was drinking like this vodka slushy I'd bought from the bar, like, you know, and I was like, I'll just carry on drinking this game while playing this game. Like,
so what did you go in the evening? You go anywhere exciting?
We went out in Norwich, and that was where the stag do was a bit. I mean, personally, it wasn't very well run. Yeah, you're like, yeah, I'll take that. Yeah, it wasn't very well run. So. It was all a bit like people didn't know where they were supposed to go. Like when I've done a stag do, I know I'm a military guy. Perhaps I like organise the fun out of it or something. But I knew
I have been here at New Year, so
I'd recce'd the route. I knew where I was going. Everyone knew, like, you're going in here for one drink and then we're moving on. That kind of stuff.
Right.
And this was all a bit too ad hoc for me. Like at some point, the stag got taken off by one other guy to a strip club. And it was like, why did that happen? Why didn't we all go? Like, or whatever. Like, the point of this is all to get. Like, so there was a good chunk of time the stag wasn't even there. Like,
okay, wow.
And I was like, that's a bit shit. And we ended up in this place called Bar and Beyond, which has got a chain bar. One is in Chelmsford. Anyway, bit of a meat market, and it's just wasted on me. I'm like, you know, like, I'm married, a kid's on the way, any day now. It's like, I'm not like. This is just boring to me. Like, yeah, like, I had a, I had a good chat with one of the guys in the bar beforehand, but I had to shout. We had to shout at each other.
You get to that age, sir. Yeah. All I want to do is sit down and chat. It's too noisy.
Well, that's the thing, isn't it? And a lot of these lads who I'm told were taken by partners were being a bit questionable. Some of that is in the moment, I suppose. But I was a bit like, well, aren't you with somebody?
Not really my cup of tea. Still.
No. I was just like, I know that makes me sound like an old man, and maybe that's what I am. But like, I was just like, why am I in this cow market? Like, I'm not. If I was single, then there'd be a reason to be here. There isn't, and I'm not.
Well, my stag do was the night before my wedding. I just went out in Kingston upon Thames, mm-hmm. had some food, had some drinks with some of my family, some of my male friends. That was it. My wife went out the night before as well. It's good.
I think that in terms of stag do's, the guy got away very lightly, to be honest.
Yeah, so did I on my stuff. I would have killed anybody that did anything to be the night before my wedding.
Yeah, as I say, I'm not saying like, oh, he should be, you should be, have anything like, God's sake, permanent done to you. That's not cool. But still, I doubt.
Like hair shave.
That's not cool. That's not eyebrows gone or something. But I mean, that he, I don't think he's really, I don't think after, to be honest, the night out didn't result in any good stories at all, really. From my point of view.
Well, they've had a good time, which is what matters.
He has done, and look forward to the wedding, if I can go. It's in Spain, problem is. He's getting married to a Spanish nurse, and
at least that makes sense now.
And that is going to be tricky for me getting there, but we'll see.
With newborn.
Yeah,
Is it not soon then, the wedding?
No, it's a little way off, in August. But it's like, I hate being like a maybe at all. And I think if you're invited to a wedding, you should go, because that's a big deal. But I hate that I can't commit because, quite understandable. I don't know how we're going to be as parents. I don't know if our kid's going to be like a good kid, a bad kid, or whatever.
He'll be a kid, sir. Mm-hmm. I guarantee it. Mm-hmm. I guarantee it. Right, so, well, that was exciting.
Yeah, so I just talk about that. So, I don't know if I, do other countries do stag do's?
Well, I know America do. I don't know about European.
Do Germans have a stag do? I don't know. Like, and is it the same kind of British style?
What is the British style, sir? I would argue that you are no longer part of the British style if you're having your stag do 4 months, 5 months before the wedding.
I don't know.
The stag do was supposed to be the night before. It's your last night of freedom. Which now people are so fucking paranoid they're going to wake up with no pubes. And a reverse Mohican done in their hair. Got to have it 6 months in advance. We're going to have a week in Magaluf or something. You know, I just went out. I went to Nando's. This was a long time ago.
Was Nando's even around then?
Yeah. And I had half a dozen, maybe eight beers. It was a nice night.
Yeah.
Just what I wanted.
Okay.
But yeah, so I would have thought that is the stereotypical English stag do, but that is not what it is anymore, I guess.
Suppose so, yeah.
Not the night before, mm-hmm. certainly. Anyway, so, good. What did I do? I've been to Salute, so there's a...
Salute!
Shit ton.
I wasn't allowed to go to Salute.
I saw the table.
Oh, was it good?
I saw the people who were working the table. Yeah, yeah. I never actually went to the table.
Oh, okay.
I couldn't find it. It was too busy.
Yeah. Were they having a good time?
It's hard to tell with Salute, isn't it? It's like one of those events that's just a bit too big.
A bit too big?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, I got some time off and I was looking for... What was I looking for? Movement traces. I'm generally looking for 10 mil shit.
Yeah.
But because the stands are all so busy, you can't actually see what they're selling.
Yeah, and you only get to see... you get to the front of it and you can only see... A little bit, like a crowded bar.
Just like that. So it's like, I haven't got time to stand and try and fight my way to the front to see what you're selling.
Yeah.
Because there's like 200 different shops.
Yeah.
So it was kind of weird. Until late on in the day, I didn't really do or see anything.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Apart from a lot of crowds. I will say that the second year running, the Steamforged was by a country mile the busiest stand.
Great. Good for them. Well done.
By a country mile.
Yeah.
It used to be Forge World were the biggest queue, and they possibly had a big queue. I didn't really see their queue, it can't have been any bigger than this.
Yeah.
Because I know people that were in the queue for 90 minutes to buy stuff.
Wow. Yeah.
That's queuing for 90 minutes to buy stuff.
Yeah.
That's bonkers.
That's crazy, mate. It's bonkers.
I wouldn't even queue for 90 minutes to be given stuff. Yeah.
Especially like, because you're a northerner.
It's like, bollocks to this, mate.
Bonkers.
Bonkers. So well done, Steamforge, and yeah, your castle full of money bricks or whatever.
I mean, were they selling the new box game?
What new box game?
Well, the Kickstarter, they won Dark Souls. Were they selling Dark Souls?
I heard it was there, but I didn't get... It was too busy again. Yeah. I spoke to some people around the edges. I didn't get in. I saw, like, Russ and Matt and Rich, but they were all running their tits off. Sherwin turned up at half-time.
Did he?
I thought it probably was only on in the afternoon or something. And yeah, press the flesh a bit.
Press the flesh.
Yeah, and so on the Privateer Press, we did some speed painting.
Mm-hmm.
That was quite interesting. Vicky did it.
Yeah.
Half an hour is not a lot of time to speed paint.
No. What was the prize?
You got like some free blisters, and you got to keep your model that you painted. The guy that won the last one, he painted fucking eyes and pupils and highlights and everything. Hang on, mate, you've only had half an hour.
How'd you do that?
Like, it's still wet. Yeah. Are you painting pupils? Yeah. And like, yeah. So you painted the eye socket and then painted white and then painted black.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So fair play, mate. Half an hour.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, that was good fun. What else did I do? I bought some. Oh, what a Johnny Bones, John Webb. He's now been. I don't know what the word is.
Taken.
Stolen. Yeah. Accosted by Wild West Exodus.
Okay.
Which I think, judging.
So Barry has in his hands
a massive
rule book. Yeah, rule book. Yeah.
Which, to be fair. Looks full of words that aren't necessarily rules, which is strange because I've literally I don't know how many pages that is in. I swear I've gone like 190 pages in, and there aren't any fucking rules.
Right.
So I don't quite understand in a 300-page rule book how the
where are the rules? Oh,
starts 218.
Yeah, that's some rules then. Yeah.
Hey, hang on a minute, mate. So you got a. You've got a 300-page rule book, and the rules start on 218.
Well, it's a lot of fluff, isn't it?
It's a lot of summing. Yeah, 200 pages of just... I don't know what the fuck to describe this as. Black and white pictures and words.
Mm-hmm.
So, words. Right, so anyway, I think this game was originally done by... What's the American bag manufacturer? Battle Foam, is it?
Right.
And they got a absolute shit ton of money on Kickstarter by the looks of things, because they've got millions of backers.
Mm-hmm.
And they've got like 100 different models for the game.
Right.
And then after a year they decided the game wasn't going anywhere, they didn't want it. So Whalen Games effectively bought it.
Yeah.
So now Whalen Games are rebooting it.
Yep.
And that's why they brought John in and some other people sort of to help with the game design. And so they were giving away the rule book, which is a big old lump, 300 pages.
Giving that away?
Yeah, wow. Well, it gets better than that. But, again, how much is a rule book worth nowadays?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, true. Mm-hmm.
How much would it cost me to get a Guild Ball rule book if I didn't want it in print, if I wanted to look at it?
Well, it's just free online.
Well, there you go. That's how much they're worth. They're worth nothing.
Mm-hmm.
So you're selling your rule book with basically the model rules and painting and pictures and stuff.
Yeah.
Because it's not worth anything for the rules itself. So they give you this rule book. They give you a model in your goodie bag, which is it's like a hard plastic. It's called Legendary Captain Nimu.
Ooh.
Who's like Captain Nemo.
Yeah.
If you know him.
Well, she's a girl.
It's his daughter.
Oh, okay.
And this is one of the factions in the game. I was going, like, hang on a minute. This is like a woman, underwater woman from a submarine with a... like a fish tail or something.
Yep.
How does this fit in the Wild West?
Yeah.
And then it turns out it's like Wild West with zombies and aliens and werewolves and tanks and flying motorbikes. And it's like, okay.
A bit out there then, yeah.
Yeah. I was quite interested when you were playing Wyatt Earp and stuff. There's actually like rules for Wyatt Earp, etc. Yeah, yeah. So when it was like that, but I think the IP's a bit crazy. But we'll see. No, so you got a free rule book for saying hello, and that rule book can be traded in for a marked, or I think if you've got this rule book, they'll give you a Mark II rule book when it's released.
Oh, okay, well, that's nice.
In like the veterans thing.
Yeah,
like
the Battlefront. That's right, that's a good idea. Yeah.
Well, because if people don't have the rules, they ain't going to play. So So they're going to give you a rule book, they gave you a model. Game looked interesting. I've just opened it now. I just gave you the shrink wrapping from it. So, yeah. But,
okay. Well, yeah. I mean, it's cool. It's, I mean, because when you presented it, I thought you'd bought it. But and buying something doesn't sound like you. So, like.
So that's what they gave you.
It's nice. Yeah, cool.
So give you a model and a book.
Mm-hmm.
And you get we will see how that develops.
Yeah,
I can't say I'm overly. I'm not going to be building the model. I'm not going to be playing the game. I've got to be honest. Just going to sit.
Right, fair enough.
But it might be better second edition. The first.
Wow, there's an Indian with two Gatling guns fitted on his mechanical horse.
I did say.
Geronimo.
I did say, the IV was a bit bonkers.
Eat this.
Eat this, Fritz.
It's like, so you want me to take my land, do you?
There were literally.
This ancient burial ground is yours.
So you've got Wyatt Earp with his gun and Doc Holliday, and there was like a fucking tank with two Gatling guns on the front. And you go, like, hang on a minute, what's Doc Holliday going to do as badass
as
he is? Lights
in Doomsday heavy support. Yeah, okay, with some nice models, but they are a bit all over. I mean, like, yeah, okay, fair enough. Yeah.
And I'll be honest, the one thing that scared the willies out of me. It's because, like, when I thought it was a skirmish game...
Yeah.
I thought, maybe. But I talked to the fella from Wayland.
Yep.
And he said they want it War Machine size. I said, like 50 models? Come on, man.
Yep.
I ain't buying that. I ain't doing 50 models of anything in 28mm.
Yeah.
50 models in 10mm I can do.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so that's my first show. Oh, and you got this is the new Salute miniature.
Oh, let's have a look.
I particularly like what they've done with the base. So it's a female Russian flag bearer.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, that's pretty cool.
No, but look underneath.
Salute 2017. Warlord game. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Very pretty.
Oh, I see. So, yeah, she's a complete model, isn't it? Two, like, base and model. That is nice. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, very nice, yeah.
So apart from a couple of bits
of
War Machine, mm-hmm. That was all I got from Salute.
Mm-hmm.
That Wild West and this model here.
Oh, so that was free and that was free.
Are you calling me cheap, sir?
I'm calling you.
Right, so what have you got to show on your show and tell?
What's in here? Is that the...
Oh, that's the ogres.
Oh, right, okay, we'll do that later. So I want you to have a look. Okay, so you might listen on other podcasts, me and the struggles of this Darklands Merce miniatures.
Oh!
Yeah, and they finally turned up.
I saw him though. He wasn't in prison yet.
Yeah.
He was the.
Wow. If I'd have saw him, I'd have fucking shoot him. Right. Okay. Yeah.
So you get some dice.
Yeah, I got some dice. So basically, that's the.
Why are they D10s?
I don't know. That's the Kickstarter that I backed. That is pretty much 2 years overdue.
Just two.
And
right?
I got that. I feel that I only got that because I kept asking for it. Like, that's how...
What faction symbol's that? It's like a lion with a
that's just the
frown
game, that's
on
just
it.
The game symbol.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, yeah.
Was that a lion?
But I mean, what's a real shame is have a look at the models in there, the resin models. They're actually really good... Barry, that's going to really pick up on the recording. Stop rolling dice.
I like dice, but D10s are not very good as dice.
Yeah.
Because they're not really... Mm-hmm. Shaped to roll.
Yeah.
They just kind of fall and stop.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So have
so
a look
got 11 D10s, including one black one.
Have a look
one.
At the some on of the models out of that box.
On one kind of pinky instead of white one. Okay, very nice. Right. Mm-hmm. No, the pink one. One miscoloured pink one.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Right, what else we got? We got some resin casts here of some, like, hoplites.
Yep, that's right. They're the cut. They're a faction called Atlantans, and they're, like, the Greek faction.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I'm not very impressed by the casting quality.
No.
If you look at the amount of flash and shit on that, that's ridiculous, mate. But
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. But they look like nice hoplite. Oh, what's this guy? What's this? Giant skull? Is that his base?
Oh, so in there is 15 Atlantis models and two mercenary. Like models that were Kickstarters. That's a mercenary model.
Okay.
So, yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's interesting. I'm sure they're vacuum resin models. You know, like they, yeah.
So there you go. I mean,
it looks all right.
The problem is, like, listeners, like, they give you some context, and that's like some faction tokens in there.
Okay, were they extra or?
They were part of the Kickstarter. Is that so? This Kickstarter that I backed back in June 2015 was for okay. So the games, basically, they were putting together the rules, and this was a.
Are these all the same fucking hoplites?
No, they're different guys in there.
Are they?
But there's a unit of 10, and there's some characters.
Yeah, but the unit. Oh, see what you mean. They've got yeah.
So at the time, they were putting together their rule book, and this was a second Kickstarter for other factions in the game. And, obviously, like all Kickstarters, it sounded good, it promised the world. And I was like, okay, I'll just put an entry-level backing in, because there were some guys down our club who were interested in this, for one of the factions that looked quite take my fancy, which was these Greeks. And they looked like very Spartans. Like, imagine,
they are,
like,
yeah.
Imagine that. With some interesting, like, other Greek, like there's a big...
There's a big centaur.
Yeah, they have statues. That's a bronze statue that's alive. Yeah, oh. Like, yeah, moves and stuff. Anyway...
Oh, Hector. Like, Hector the
That's right.
What's
yeah.
his face?
Yeah, yeah. But the problem is it was so overdue.
So overdue, sir.
With terrible communication.
Terrible, sir. And the rule book is impenetrable.
And the rule book is just so complicated.
The rule book's written for Rain Man.
Yeah,
the only man that could understand it is the Rain Man.
Like, unless someone's teaching you the game, I don't see how you could learn it out of the book. It's so complicated. Like, this Darkland, it looks like the kind of game...
It looks like computer code.
Yeah.
The rule book looks like computer code.
And, okay, so that's all not good. And what was... But really, like, stuck the knife into me is while I'm waiting for my overdue Kickstarter that should have arrived months and months ago... They reduced things like, oh, we're going to do a Kickstarter where we'll do these resin models cheaper in metal. Same ones. So they took my money for resin models, and then later on, when they want more money, they did Kickstarters to do the same things but in metal, and they'd be cheaper. And I'm like, are you taking you taking the piss, mate? You know, like I couldn't believe that. Like, because that's just...
So that kind of goes against everything that we've been told. You know, like, alternative facts.
Yeah.
So how can metal miniatures be cheaper than resin?
I don't know. Anyway.
How can it happen?
I don't know.
Apparently the price of tin is like... Well, it's like adamantium. It's like the rarest material on Earth.
So... That was, again, I was massively scarred from that. And every couple of months, I would send them another email asking for my stuff, basically. Like, can I have it, please? You know, like, and eventually... Like, and now it's actually turned up. And I really do think it's only turned up because I kept asking for it. And that's awful. Like, well, I should...
How much did you pay for it?
That backing was, like, 100.
Including the rule book?
No, that was a separate thing. That's already...
Well, this was 100 just for this?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And the rule book was extra?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, man.
So, I've already put that on eBay. Yeah.
For 100?
Yeah, yeah. Just because I asked for a refund. I was like, look, this stuff's never coming. Can I just have a refund? And they said, no, we don't do refunds. You know, like...
Really?
Like, yeah,
customer
yeah.
service,
yeah,
we don't
yeah.
do that.
No refunds. And I was like, right, well, that's outrageous. Where the hell is my stuff, then? You know, like, since it's, like, I bought it. Like, I would say bought, that's the problem with Kickstarter. You haven't really bought it, have you? Like, so it's on eBay. And it's not on there. That stuff isn't for sale on their website. So it is stuff that is not for release yet. So I'm hoping someone will pick it up and take it off my hands. I just want the money that I paid for it back.
What have you done with the rule book?
That's already gone. I've already sold that on eBay.
How much did you get for that?
I didn't make it back. Yeah, like,
well, you're never going to make it back. Yeah. It's a rule book.
Yeah, yeah. But it made half of it back. So, it's a real shame, because that is...
Well, I've never seen anybody play this game.
No, neither
ever.
Yeah, yeah.
And lots of people put money into it 3 years ago.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the thing. It's like, that is exactly how not to do a Kickstarter. It's like, if you put release dates, they've got to be honest. Because, like, if this stuff had turned up on the release date, it might have got used. Now that it's 2 years past when it was supposed to turn up, life's quite different now from then. Like, you know, like, and... I've no interest. I'm so scarred from it. I'm no.
2 years is an incredible amount of time to be late.
I'm no interest in, like, that's an entire edition of 40K. Like, I'm no interest in playing that game. Even if it was the best game I'd ever played, like, I would have no interest in playing it because look how shit the company's been.
I think the worst bit about this is where the fuck would you use them apart from in this game?
Godslayer, you might have used them in, like, another skirmish game that has, like, a Greek-style faction.
Well, you could maybe, what was that game people were playing
God Slayers, like,
with the dice? I can't remember the name. Saga.
Saga? Yeah, I suppose. Maybe,
but you can get stuff for that dirt cheap. Yeah. You get boxes for like 15 quid.
It's just, that is awful. And like okay, so there is, with the quality of the...
Did you have to pay for postage extra, or did they at least do free postage?
That was part of, I think it was part of the Kickstarter. Okay. But like, it's, there's a lot of flash there, and the cast are like I've seen, like, look, some of the bodies are like on these Greeks are lovely, they're really good detail, and that, yeah, they would be nice to, and like, to do up and paint up and do, like, you know, but it's that's not how you treat people, you know, that is there's no customer service there at all.
I'm not sure if GW produced something with that much kind of shit on it that people wouldn't say, post up and say, like, it shouldn't be covered in...
Well, GW don't do resin stuff, do they?
So I don't know. There's obviously something wrong with the mould isn't pressed together tight enough, because it's like the flash is all over it, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's like, you look at this piece here, it's like virtually all covered in flash.
Yeah, you'd have to trim it off. Take quite a lot of prep work with a knife to get it. And
you might be looking just be able to rip it off.
Being resin, some of like the spears are bent and stuff and etc. But I mean, like, I've been very clear. I put it on eBay, very upfront, like, this is the Kickstarter. Yeah, I don't want it. Like, hopefully...
I don't fucking want it. You have it.
There is some watches on it, but I think it might get the minimum bid, you know.
Oh, you've like, put an auction?
I put it as an auction, yeah. Just
starting at, yeah, starting, like, 80?
Yeah. Yeah, but I think it will... I don't know. I'm hoping it will sell.
It should sell for 80.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. We'll see. I mean, it's just my point is, it's just that is not how you do things at all.
Well, the thing about Kickstarter, I genuinely believe, is people don't treat it like real money.
Yeah, yeah.
Bizarrely, it's like, you'd spend more on Kickstarter. Mm. This is a man who's just done a Kickstarter. Kind of shoot myself, but people seem to be willing to spend more money on Kickstarter than they maybe would if it wasn't on Kickstarter.
Yeah,
which is a bit strange.
Yeah,
because like Merce Miniatures, if you knew who they were, like, historically, if you knew they were Maelstrom Games and all the shit that went down with those,
yeah.
You could, like, how could I trust your word? You have no word.
You have no word. Yeah, exactly. I mean,
you're the exact word.
Like, the thing is, if I was Absolute and I saw, okay, that is the man ultimately responsible, I don't know what I would have said. I'd be like, look, mate, you...
He knows!
Like, how
his name's been mud for 4 years.
Yeah.
It's like... just like, yeah, well.
Yeah.
I still don't... Yeah, anyway, it is what it is. Yeah. Well done. Mm-hmm. Well done, Merce Miniatures, for finally supplying Paul with some stuff to sell on eBay.
Well, yeah, basically. I mean, but it's just like, why did I... I mean, I probably only turned up because I kept chasing it. And, like,
Well, you are a persistent bastard. I'll give you that.
Well, I don't. Yeah, but now, so now I don't have. I mean, my sister. You should. My sister's even worse. But like now, I don't have any Kickstarters. Like, that's it. Everything I've gotten. Everything I have nothing on Kickstarter at the moment. Apart from your next thing, obviously.
Okay. Well, I would trust Steamforged if they did a Kickstarter. But I think they don't need Kickstarters
anymore.
No,
they're well bigger than that.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you think so, but Mantic use Kickstarters all the day long.
Mantic is... You know, okay, aside from Dungeon Saga Mark II, Mantic's questionable.
So I'll tell you one other thing from Salute. And this is weird. This is a common thing in retail, but I haven't seen it before in wargaming.
Mm-hmm.
It's like... Today's newspaper is tomorrow's chip wrapper.
Yes.
Right, so all the shiny stuff from last year was being binned out dirt cheap.
Yeah.
Because either people went, like, retailers can go into Kickstarters too.
Yeah.
So either they went way too heavy into them, or the new shiny stuff's moved on and people don't want this stuff. I bought some stuff that was way more expensive. Like for your Dwarf King's Hold, I didn't buy it.
Yeah.
But a Dwarf King's Hold was all like 15, 20 quid a box.
Ooh, lovely. I might have picked some up if I didn't realise that. But never mind. Mm.
Yeah, but that, why is that? Why are they 15, 20 quid a box?
I don't know. Right.
But they shouldn't be, should they?
No.
So it's like, yeah, so they've got, you as a retailer, you've gone heavy into a Kickstarter and you've bought like 100 units of each of the Dwarf King's Hold.
Yeah.
And you've sold 50 of them.
Yeah.
But the other 50 aren't selling anymore because now other shiny stuff's coming out.
Yep.
Like The Walking Dead was another example. Quite a lot of Mantic stuff, actually.
Mm-hmm.
You could have bought that Walking Dead box set for like 20 quid.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure it was like 60.
Wow. Yeah, cool, okay.
But so they've got to get rid of it. So in order to free up money to put into the next shiny thing that's coming along and not be sat in the stock room.
Yeah.
So that was a bit strange because with games like 40K and other, you're used to like stability, you're used to like, a £40 rule book's worth £40 this year,
yeah,
be worth £40 next year, yeah, £40 in 2020, as long as the edition's not changed.
Yeah.
But it wasn't. It was like, this £80 box set is worth like £30 today.
Yeah.
Might be worth £20 next year. But it's still current. But mm-hmm, people don't give a shit because no one's buying it. What's the next thing?
Yeah, I suppose.
What's the next shiny?
Yeah, what's the next shiny?
Yeah. That's weird. It kind of, yeah. Apart from your historical stuff, that's all. Yeah, that's where we play, isn't it? In dead games. Dead games.
Well,
no inflation.
I mean, this leads us nice. Have you got anything more for Salute?
No, I could probably find some stuff.
So this leads us on to this nice point I've got for the games, because 30K is about to die, isn't it?
Is it? I mean, it's been coming a while.
So, okay.
It's coming 2 years.
So since we've recorded last...
30K is going to die.
Well, let me talk about it later. So, since we recorded last, the big news of gaming is that 40K, probably the biggest...
Not that my Kickstarter of production's finished. That's not the biggest news in gaming.
Bless you, Barry. Yeah. Right, is that 40K is doing a new edition.
Is it?
Long rumoured, and now it is...
Age of Sigmarians.
Okay, so, and what is happening is that... Okay, so, some context. 40K, right now, the current game, is so bloated, it's just too much.
It's been an abortion for a long time.
Yeah, because you need something like five... various rule books, you know, like to play a game with full rules, etc. Like, there's like additional expansions for flies, it's just all over the place. It's like, there's not one source material anymore.
Right.
There's not like a rule book and an army codex book. Well, you could play it that way, but you know, there are other expansions that, like, you're using them or you're not using them, just all over the place. And plus they have a game with something 22, 23 codexes or something, so they've never had a situation where they've had as many codexes, army books out,
right,
for an edition.
And I mean, admittedly, 15 of them are Marines.
Yeah, true, but they are separate books.
Yeah.
And it has allowed them to do armies which haven't been seen the light of day for a long time, like my favourite, like Gene Sealer Cult, for example. So, and what they've decided to do is they are, right, new edition time. It's, you know, the times between, you know, editions is getting... It's not that long, you know, like, you know, 2-3 years, it's like they could do it.
Right.
And they're going to do 8th Age. And instead of a soft, adjustment, it's quite a big...
It's a hard Brexit.
It's a hard Brexit.
The hardest of hard Brexits.
So, and they are basically going to, well, effectively AOS.
They're gutting it, aren't they?
I don't know. I mean, like, because they haven't... What you haven't seen yet is the... Is that what will decide everything is actual rules, like you've had, and but they are going to do is this matched like the same. They've learned from the mistakes of AOS.
What, and they're going to put points in.
Yes, they're going to. So what they're going to?
They're going to put points in.
So what they're going to have is they're going to have in Age of Sigmar they reduced the General's Companion, which has three ways to play: match play, which you are playing points values to a same size. Open play, which is just do whatever you like, and scenario play, which is kind of a mixture between the two, to be honest, because it's like set models for a certain scenario.
Right.
Okay. I don't know how much choice you get of those models, but that's what it's supposed to be. You're like, and they're doing that for 40K. So they're going to be juiced. There'll be these three ways to play. So your tournament gamers will be playing match play, your casual...
Where are the points coming from? They're producing
They're doing it themselves. Yeah.
They're producing a point value for every model
game. Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
But what is the question is that are the rules, like, are your basic squad, are your rules going to be...
Stop chucking them in there.
So are your rules going to be like data sheets like in Age of Sigmar? So there's just like there's no to wound rolls,
Well, there is if it's four up, isn't it?
Well,
four up to hit, four up to wound.
Yeah,
four up armor.
Is it going to be basically what I'm saying is, are the rules going to be like that or not? Don't know. But we haven't actually seen rules for the 8th edition 40K yet. But all the books, like, they're trying to sell off all the old books because they like say there's fluff in them. But they've already said the rules were really not compatible.
Did you end up recycling all your War Machine books?
Me, I couldn't even sell them.
They went in the recycling
bin. Yeah, they couldn't. They were worth nothing. So,
That's how much fluff's worth to the normal gamer.
Yeah, sadly. Nothing. I mean, and that's a game which has built on its fluff. Oh no, sorry. I mean, no, it's not like ready. But I don't know. We'll see. I mean, and my honest question is like, so I said to our 30K group, and I was like, so okay, so we've got 30K. We have all. The, I mean, I have all the rules that I need for that were going to be ever for Ultramarines, and I have, and so
yeah.
I don't need any more.
No.
Like, but there are legions that haven't been done yet, like Blood Agents and stuff. And because when Forge World did the last Forge World book for this, yeah, book 7 of the Horus Heresy, it sold out. Like it, they had to make print more to sell more. So they've got to succeed. Now, what are Forge World going to do with 30K? Are they going to continue making... I'd rather they finish what they started, and they did Forge World books for all of the legions, you know, like, which they, you know, they're two-thirds done. Like, it's mostly loyalist legions left, but they could... Are they going to continue what they to finish what they started? Now, they have said in this press release, yes, they are, and 30K will continue to be 7th edition, which is what it is currently, 40k rules, and Forge World will continue it. Now, does that mean Forge World then put out their own version of the 7th edition rulebook, like reprint it for them, just so you have it? Well, I don't know. Because at the moment, you need a 7th edition rulebook and a Horus Heresy book to play the game. Because the core rules are in the 40k's main rulebook, which is 7th edition. Because what 30k has that the main game didn't have is that's all you need. You need your legion, your legion rules, and you need the core rulebook. You don't have it had no other expansions.
Right. Okay.
So it worked in that sense. It's a game that's come off and like revised the main game and nailed down to one area and okay. kept
It'd
it
be
quite
interesting
simple.
To see how it develops, because
I don't
it
know.
Will be a dead game.
Yes.
And therefore, yeah.
I don't know. So
fantasy. Couldn't stay where it was, could it?
No.
Because in the end, people ended up moving anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
Lots of people said, I'm staying here playing 8th.
Mm-hmm. No.
And then in the end, they lost.
Yeah.
Because nobody played 8th with them.
Well, that's the thing. Is it's like, I don't know. I mean, it'd be very interesting now to see what... they've said it. They've gone to print and said it. But that means very little to me. as in terms of what people say and what they actually do are very different things.
It'd be easier to play with your kids, which is a bonus.
Yeah. I mean, I'm interested. I mean, because I wasn't playing 40k anyway. Like, yeah. So it would be interesting to see what they crack on to do with it. I mean,
they're not going to blow up the world, are they? So that's different.
Well, in 40k, they can do a game blow up worlds. It doesn't matter. There's plenty.
Yeah, but I mean, their IP is protectable, where it wasn't for fantasy.
Yeah.
I think that's the bigger issue. They couldn't protect their IP, so they didn't want it.
Yeah. So I mean, I mean, I don't know. I mean, because I don't know how different really a rogue trader was to like first and second.
Very different.
Stuff. But like this is, it's a very big change they're bringing in. Okay. Very big change.
So well, we better say thank you to Mr. KR, because we've been 53 minutes. Right?
Oh, God, right, okay. So thank you, KR.
You're very good. We'll
you're very good.
Knocking your door
I'll
soon.
Be tapping you up at the start of the month, asking for your kindly donations, like Oliver, like at the start of the queue, going, please, sir, can I have some
Paul's,
more?
Paul's fixated with, like, chopping bases out today. He's been... You can probably hear him keep... Ka-ching-king! He's got a multitask. You know it can damage your brain, apparently, multitasking.
What? Why?
I don't know.
Who told you that?
That's bullshit. Science, sir. Science. Science is bullshit. I've got my own facts. They did a study, and it turned out that multitasking destroys brain cells.
What? Surely it improve brain
no,
cells?
No. It might might
that
turn you into...
bullshit.
I don't make this stuff. Yeah. I don't make this stuff.
Sounds like you just made that up.
It does sound my alternative fact. Yeah. Apparently it's true. Makes you stupid. Multitasking makes you
makes
stupid.
Makes you stupid?
Well, eventually.
How do you define multitasking, then?
Doing more than one thing at once. Talking.
But you're doing that all the time.
I'm not.
You're breathing and talking.
That's subconscious. You're consciously doing this and talking. So apparently. That's why women are so stupid.
No. Whoa! Right. So,
because my wife's always claiming she can multitask. So I tell her that she's destroying her brain now.
Oh, whatever.
Alternative facts.
Yeah, if I... God, my entire job is multitasking all the time. I mean, like yesterday, I worked. This is quite funny. So I had the ESAT shift at work, which is basically a 9 till 8 shift, And it's work. It's the first. It's basically like doing the workups on every patient. And in a recent like staff meeting, all the staff decided that working that shift is too stressful. It's too stressful.
What do you mean?
Working
the day shift.
The day. Like doing this shift is too stressful.
Well, the normal day shift, not a night shift.
No. So like it's decided that okay, we'll swap ESAT. Like basically, you'll do that for half a day, and then you do something else for the other half a day.
Okay.
It's like me. It was like I don't rock the boat. I just get on and do my job. I never found it that. As in, like it's no worse.
Orders.
It's never worse or better than anywhere else.
Okay.
Anyway, so I was like, oh, okay. So I come in to do this ESAT shift, and I'm like, okay, I'm here. And it's like, oh, I'm doing something else in the afternoon. They'd already planned it out. And it's like, yeah, standard skill mix. You're going to need to be in the ambulance bay in the afternoon. I was like, why is that? And it was like, as in like, why are we not doing it? Oh, because that was what we decided. I was like, ambulance bay is way more stressful than ESAT. Jesus.
Be careful what you wish for.
Yeah, I was just like, what? So I'm here to unstress, you know, and I had to triage people on the back of ambulance and tell them like, oh, I'm really poor.
Well, this is, they can't
like,
get in.
Like, yeah, I'm like, I can't, I'm really unhelpful, I'm really unwell, I need the hospital. And I'm just in the back of ambulance going, yeah, we're full, you're going to have to sit here on the back of this ambulance for like a couple of hours. Yeah, you know, like until
at least you're not going to Basildon.
Yeah. It's like, and that's
that's not stressful. No.
And what's even more of like a kick in the teeth for that is the ESAT shift. The hours of it is till 8 at night.
Yeah.
The long day shift is till 8:30. So by making me do something that is a long day, that is part of the ambulance bay, I have to work 30 minutes for free.
Hooray!
Yeah. It's like, and I pointed this out to nurse in charge, and she said, like, you realise that you're making me work 30 minutes for nothing. Again, I'm not really complaining, but that is a fact.
Right.
And she said, oh, we'll adjust your hours. And it's like, they didn't ever adjust my hours. Yeah, like,
You never do what you say.
Yeah, it's like, what people do and what they say is very different things.
Very, very different. Right, so we're nearly an hour in, so we need to crack on.
Sorry.
We need to crack on. Sorry. So, I'm back 8 minutes, just to get this out of the way. Production finished last week. I'm now shipping and packaging and packaging and shipping. And
shipping and packaging.
The post
packaging
office.
And shipping.
The post office. God damn you, post office man.
It's good service, isn't it?
No.
I'm glad we privatised that.
Yeah. So am I. So you used to be able to do like bulk. You need certificates of postage, right? So you write, instead of them typing tappy, the name and the postcode into the fucking machine, you can print out a sheet and you can write them all in.
Does this grind your gears, Barry?
Oh, a little bit. You write them all in advance, and then you say there are 20 on this sheet, and then you sign and date it, and then you stamp it saying, I have received 20 packages from you, Mr. Pittman.
You have not lied.
Right, brilliant. So I go in there with my sheet,
truth.
Filling in all the little customs, decorations, forms, and all the other craziness. And it's changed now. So even though I've done it on this sheet, the man's still got to do tappy-tappy and then tap them all in individually. And you go, no, mate, it's on the sheet.
Yep.
Why are you tapping them in? So then we've got to dab them in and say, come on! Come on, man, there's 20 of them! And you're going so slow. Tap, tap, tap,
tap, tap, tappy-tappy.
The queue's out the door. Yeah, it's like, Jesus, man.
Is that the could you have taken that to a post office-like place? Like in a co-op or something?
Yeah, if you want to jam the queue up for fucking 30 minutes.
Oh, I see. You're doing the same there, would it? Yeah.
So I went to the post office to try and not inconvenience people, but and I was all prepared. Yeah, I was all prepared with all the sheets and stuff. Yeah. And it's like, oh man. So I've got another. I've got quite a few more to do this week. So
have you sent the first some orders
I've
out?
I've started sending them out. Yeah. Right. I've sent out some this morning. Sent out one yesterday. I'll send out some more.
So people should be getting them over the next couple of days.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah. And the people like Paul.
Yay!
We can have them in the flesh.
It looks like a Gray's box. Have you just been stealing from Gray's boxes?
Who's Gray's?
Yeah.
Gray's.
Yeah. Is that what you've been doing? Right.
So he's going to open it now. It's got a little. You'll need to use a little thingy because I've sealed it. Because that's the kind of guy I am.
Okay, so what I've got as the consumer, I've got a return address, which is your house.
That's where I live.
Right, here we go. So I have. I was an Ogre Chieftain backer.
With a bit of extra.
With a bit of extras.
And you've already had your bases.
Yes, I have, haven't I?
Yeah. There you are.
Right, so I've got Ogre Warriors, 9 lead-free miniatures. This is a nice packaging.
Just
and I have
the best they could do.
One, two, three.
You've got four of those, sir.
Yeah, okay, I'm just lying. And these are the All Ogre Warriors.
So
four of them.
Two cannoneers, sir.
I've got Ogre cannoneers, nine lead-free miniatures. Lead-free. So what are these miniatures then?
Pewter, sir.
Oh, pewter.
Pewter 92, which is 92% tin and 8% other shibber shabber.
Four units of armoured warriors. And I have this lovely little promotional bit of paper here.
It's just a thank you note.
Thank you. I hope you enjoy. This is from Blackgate Miniatures, so it sounds like an awfully good chap. Thank you. I hope you enjoy your new ogre miniatures. We did it. We created 10 mil ogres. If you're not 100% happy with them, go fuck yourself. Then please contact me and I will sort it out. I want you to be happy.
I do want you to be happy.
Smiley face.
I live for your happiness. I have no happiness of my own.
If you are not happy with them... Oh, no, if you are happy with them,
that's
then please tell
happy.
The world. Share the love. Paint them and send me pictures to post up. I look forward to seeing them soon for gloriously crushing people on the table. Next up will be the Mammoth Riders and Character Kickstarter launched in June. Thank you, Barry. www.blackgateminiatures.com. Well, that's really nice. That would make me think more favourably of you. Because A, you've reduced it on time. Like, it's still April. Massive. Because your original date was April, wasn't it? You didn't
it
say start or end or
no,
date.
No, it was April. The plan.
So this is April. Can't complain.
April still.
And this little bit of paper would make me think very highly if I didn't know you.
Well, that's good, sir.
So that's good.
You get a nice little box and you get little miniatures in little bags with little stickers.
Yeah, and that can be added to my boxes to be sent on things on eBay.
My box on eBay.
Right, so here we go. Start my new ogre army. Might take a picture of that.
So they'll be sent out today and some of them are given out tomorrow at the club because there's quite a few people from the club back then. Eight or something.
What's the furthest address you're sending to?
Oh, we got New Zealand.
Ooh,
they're World Zone 2. Well, stuff's expensive out there, man.
I had to send something to Brazil recently and that was expensive.
Even like because it's not a letter. Even the cheapest bit of postage, I think it's like £3 something. And that's for like virtually nothing.
Yeah. So, what I'm going to do now is
this is going to work well on television.
Oh, no. So what I'm doing now is I'm just going to talk, like, I have an ogre army.
You do.
From Jim.
Because you need is two, sir. You need two.
No. So I'm just comparing, because Jim, it's a very unique army, converted an ogre army from the original one unit of ogres. He managed to do some amazing work.
He did.
Converting them, anyway, to make all the different units. And I'm looking at them, and I'm like, so your ogres are quite aesthetically different from...
Deliberately so.
They look more like the ogres from Ogre Kingdoms, like from Fantasy VIII, compared to this unit.
Well, they were Empire Ogres,
they were kind of
I think.
Empire Ogres, really.
They had all kinds of weird man-eaters and all kinds of crazy stuff.
Yeah, exactly. So, and here we are. And they look fantastic. And I do really like that they've got command groups in the units.
Apart from the cannoneers.
Because command groups are... Yeah, like, missile troops never have command groups.
They don't.
And the infantry... I mean, it's just... People use it, like, to centre the unit off it, but it doesn't actually mean anything. You know, like, as in a flag and stuff. But it's nice that they're there. And they're big flags. You can paint your own designs on them. Simple ogre designs. You know, like, marks and stuff. It's bonza. It's three units of base. Three models of base.
Yeah,
it looks fantastic.
Wanted to be a bit frugal, you could do less.
No, but
Jim only had two on his, so you could.
Totally two. I mean, like, I would do three, but and you could have. There's enough variation in the units, so you can mix them. And not every stand is going to be the same. It's not the same three guys repeated.
The cannoneers are the ones with the least variation.
But they are an ogre carrying a cannon. You don't need that many poses. Like the armored warriors and the ogre warriors. Our guys packing different weapons, aren't they?
Yeah, they're all different. Nine different sculpts for those.
It's brilliant.
So, like, 22 in total and a little ammo dump thing. Each one's got... The cannon has got a little ammo pack.
Ammo pack. Put that onto the base. Yeah. That is fantastic. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to do a new ogre... I'm going to let that ogre army go.
Well, I think Jim suggested that maybe he could hold on and his son would probably buy it back.
Oh, okay. Then I will ask Jim first. I'll do that straight after this. I'll be like, does he want it back? Because I will obviously be doing an ogre army from your stuff. So you're going to do... You've mentioned the other two... I've got to use the right words here. So the other two...
So the Mammoth Riders and the
Mammoth Riders
next.
And characters.
Are
next. And it's their intentions to do other things afterwards.
But people have said that those are the next key issues.
Yes, of course, yeah. I'd like to see some greenlings.
Yeah, so would I.
But okay, but that, so your intention is to do more for them.
Yeah, eventually, hopefully, you can get the whole range.
Yeah.
Because, as we've said many times, yes, you can go and get bits from other manufacturers, but sometimes it doesn't work.
No, and I knowing that there is forthcoming, you intend to do the entire range, like you're from Blackgate. I, as a punter, even if I didn't know you, I would hold off on doing something else. I'd use proxy things until you came through with your models, because the aesthetic will never be. Well, I want the aesthetic of the army to match. Like we've seen and experienced so far, like it's better to have models come from one company,
from one sculptor,
wherever possible.
Because even companies like Privateer Press suffer from when they get sculptors. Yeah, the stuff can look quite different.
Quite different.
What were they called? The Black 13th, the first generation of those. Yeah. Man, they were small.
Yeah, terrible.
So famously so. Robbie's going to sculpt them, and yeah, it's going to be good.
So overall,
Did you see the model that was Sherwin? Have you seen that?
What?
I got. He's not sculpted yet, but I got Christian to design a Shaman model.
Yeah.
That was based on Sherwin's kind of. You know, he had the really strange Facebook kind of like distended face figure.
Yeah.
Based on that figure. as like the leading backer of the Kickstarter. He's got his own model.
I didn't know that. Brilliant.
Maybe next time I'll show you the picture.
So what we are going to see locally is tons of ogre armies, like, you know, stomping around.
Taking names.
Right, fantastic. That's really good, Barry. I mean, I'm really happy. This is awesome. I'm really happy for you.
It's been a long journey. It's been emotional.
What would you have done differently?
Yeah, that's an interesting one. Unfortunately, this is only a small issue, but what I did is I put up a second Kickstarter. Now, it's only, what's the word? It's like a placeholder.
Oh, is it a notification of intent?
It's like, it's not live.
Yeah, a warning order.
So it's like, I don't know what they call it, but basically the Mammoth Riders are up there.
Yeah, because that's where you put the artwork, isn't it?
Yeah, so some people are confused that was actually live and they tried to buy things from that and stuff. So I probably wouldn't have done that.
Oh, just because it's more trouble than it's worth, yeah.
And one interesting thing to do on a niche Kickstarter like this, most of the work's done before it launches. So having a 30-day Kickstarter actually worked against me.
Oh, okay.
Because for the last week or maybe even 10 days, it went backwards.
Oh, yeah, right, okay.
Which sounds bizarre. So how can you get to like almost 3,500, then it roll back to 2,500? Right. Well, I don't know is the answer, but maybe a shorter Kickstarter of a couple of weeks, because the people that you want to know about it will find out about it, and if they don't, then
well, now they definitely will, because I think is there a way that anybody who backed you originally, when you do the new one, will they automatically will they get a note about it?
I've certainly got everybody's email address.
Yes, you can just send an email saying this is up now.
Yeah,
continue your ogre army.
Get more.
Maybe
we'll have some kind of loyalty bonus, maybe. We'll see what we can do.
And bigger stuff, do you intend to do another army?
Yeah, maybe.
Did you see that guy was sculpting some Chaos Dwarves on the Facebook group?
No.
Oh, man. Like, some guy...
But these people just keep doing ad hoc little
bits of stuff. Yeah, I know, but this guy sculpted some fantastic-looking Chaos Dwarves.
Big pointy hats and all?
They looked like, you know the Hell Cannon crew? They looked like real twisted dwarf, Chaos Dwarves.
Cool.
And I looked at them and I was like, wow.
They look sun or something.
Something like that. And everybody was saying, can I buy these? Like, where are you going to make more?
You're
going to sell these? Can I buy these?
They just do that to kind of get people salivating, because there's never any talk of selling them.
Well, I mean, we'll wait and see. I mean, but like, if that became, like, if that was put out as a unit you could buy... God, they look great. Anyway, but yeah, so...
Oh, I've got one more thing to say.
Go on.
I wrote the rules for my game when I was on holiday.
Oh, really? What?
Yeah. By the pool.
Kings of
the North.
Kings of the North. Yeah, all right.
It's good. And I'm not going to say it's like the most original game ever written. It certainly borrows from many varied places. But yeah, it's nice. I like it.
Okay.
It kind of solves some of the things I don't like about Warmaster.
Okay.
And we'll see. We'll see how
it goes. Well, we'll have to play it, won't we?
Yeah, so I did the rules... And I did four races.
And what were the races? Can you say?
Yeah, I suppose so. But there's basically, you have to do human first, because you have to have something to work from.
The vanilla.
vanilla. There has to be
are they the good guys?
You can have them as a good guy. Can I paint them blue?
Can I paint them blue?
You paint them blue, call them good guys.
I'm sold.
Ogres, obviously.
Yeah.
So there's ogres, humans, undead.
Yeah.
Because you've got to have some undead. For people like Dave Downs.
Yeah.
They're not interested unless it's undead. Nick, UK champion Wakely.
Yep.
And what was the last one? Did I try and do... Oh, it's orcs.
Yeah.
I like me some orcsies.
So
they're very generic.
Yeah. And when does that surface?
Oh, now that's a trickier one. So it's been put on the back burner since I got back from holiday to deal with this. So I'll have a start looking at it again when this is put to bed. And then the next Kickstarter will probably be in June-ish for the other stuff. And then maybe I'll have some time to work with
it. You never know.
It'll all be down to Robbie, basically. Because the timescale...
Robbie is your...
Sculptor. The timescale was all on him.
Yeah.
So I need an amount of time to do the work after I get the sculpts, but I can't control his workload.
Yeah.
He's not like, I don't own him. He's not my employee. He's a freelance. So.
Yeah, of course, of course. I think it's a massive success.
I'll tell you one thing. I'll let you into a secret.
It's not just letting me if you say it on this, aren't you?
It will be using, do you know the kind of fixed basing system? Similar to Kings of War.
Yeah.
So there's no individual bases.
Oh, okay.
What do they call it when you have it on, or everything on one base?
So the units all there or the units destroyed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then you can do a lot more creatively.
Yes.
Yeah. And you don't have to have your models as tightly packed. You can be quite frugal in the amount of models you put on a base.
Yeah.
But I really like the way those bases look.
Yeah, fair enough. I mean, you never know, Barry, because is it still going to be Kings of the North? Is that what the game's going to be called?
That's what it's called. Well, you know another King of the North? Kings of the North?
Well, Lord Commander Snow.
He's the king without a plural. Okay. There are multiple kings in the North.
Okay, anyway, you never know, because your game might come up with some really good ideas that you never know might be seen then replicate into Warmaster, mightn't they?
Well,
you never know.
I think there'll be quite a different game.
What came first, the chicken or the egg?
The only thing that they will share is the scale.
Yeah, okay, fair enough.
Because the world doesn't have enough 10mm games.
It does. Well, it doesn't really, does it at all?
No, it's got Warmaster, and that's it.
Yeah, I mean, what is it, Pendragon, when they give you their product, they say, oh, we've got this game called Warband, and they uses 10mm scale stuff. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I've never tried. I've never seen anything about it. But you're right. There aren't many 10mm scale games.
Well, not that make any impact in the world.
What scale is Flames of War? That's 15mm, isn't it? Yeah, 15mm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we will see. We'll see what the world is saying. And we'll see how it goes. Right, so...
Can I put the photo I've just taken...
Do we want, mate?
Can I put that on the Warmaster group?
Anywhere you like, sir.
Okay, then I
will. They're yours. They're not belong to me.
Yeah, I know, do as you wish.
But sell them on eBay.
But I've gotten these now because I'm your mate.
They would have been shipped today, tomorrow, or Thursday anyway. They're going out.
Okay.
Knock yourself out, sir.
Then I will. Mm-hmm.
Okay, right, good. So,
is there any other Warmaster stuff we need to talk about?
Really?
Okay.
Well, we'll have to do the rules committee next week. We can't do it every week because it takes too much time.
No. But things are pushing forward.
Because after this finishes, I'm getting a little bit busy, but we're going to spend 10 minutes
minutes all we need, just being really succinct.
Go through the stuff, and we will record an episode next week. Hopefully it'll be later in the week.
And we'll have some games to talk about, of course. I'll have my Dwarfs games. Next event is July the 1st in 40K. £10 will get you in, get you lunch, and probably get you quite a lot of prize support as well.
Yeah.
Can't say better than that. And bring it on.
And look at me.
You get me.
Judge. Judge Barry. Mm-hmm. Judge Winder. Judge Rinder.
Is that Judge Rinder. Excellent.
Okay. Right, so that was it. Warmaster podcast episode
57.
We're getting there, aren't we? Nearly 2/3 of the way to 100.
We should have another party.
Yeah. We'll do that. And it was nice to meet, I'll just say this now, it was nice to meet somebody over the weekend.
You got approached by a fan.
Well, I wouldn't call it God as fun.
Not as strong as that.
A listener on Saturday and a listener last night at my magic club.
Did they listen to that to you because they knew you were recording a podcast?
I think a long time ago I mentioned that years ago, 18 months ago, whenever it was, I said that we were starting a podcast.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And he doesn't come down to the club very often at all, maybe like a couple of times a year, but mm-hmm. he listens to the podcast every week.
Yeah, wow.
So there you go. So Gary, sir, thank you for listening.
Salute. We salute you.
We salute you, Gary. Yeah. And I believe, I'm shit with names, I think the guy was called Grant on Saturday, although I may be wrong.
Justin's friend.
Justin's fine. I only know Justin because he's one of the people that is quite vocal about Wood Elves, isn't he? Because yeah. he's one of the few that is playing Wood Elves.
And he has done some very nice Wood Elves.
And I see him post up regularly on the Facebook page.
Yep.
Justin.
Justin.
And the guy who I spoke to at the weekend, sorry, forgot your name again, is... I don't think he uses his real name on Facebook, So that's always really hard, because I've got no idea who you are if you don't use your real name.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Use your real name, unless you're a policeman.
Yeah, but
then
some people can't they? They're
generally because they're policemen.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
In fact, he emailed me, so I'm going to find his name. No, I won't. Sorry. We'll talk about it next time. Thank you for listening to War Master Podcast. It's been a very messy end. We'll see you next week.
See you later.